Please hear these words from Luke's Gospel, the 10th chapter, verses 38 to 42. Now, as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." The word of God for the people of God.
You tried to offer your gratitude to John, but I think you could do it again. Blessings. Someday I hope my voice grows up like his. Let's pray. Oh, gracious and wonderful God, in these moments, send the work of your Holy Spirit. Stir our hearts today in the knowledge and love of our Savior Jesus Christ, and fill us with a call to be your disciples. It's in that name of your Son, the beautiful and wonderful name of Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Yesterday was one of those 50th anniversaries to remember. Apollo 11 landing on the moon and Armstrong and Aldrin stepping on the lunar surface only because of the efforts of nearly 400,000 individuals. An accomplishment that's been heralded as one small step for man, but one giant leap for mankind. An opportunity for you and I to see not just an individual accomplishment, but an accomplishment of a greater whole. That might be the nature of selflessness that we could explore today. One note was shared with us that here at Armstrong Chapel, you might not have been aware, but for the final years of his life, Neil Armstrong actually lived up the road on Drake and would come here to vote. And he would walk into the election poll and walk up to the table and would say, "My name is Neil Armstrong," and he'd take out his license to prove it. That might be a glimpse of humility. It might be an understanding of selflessness for the greater good. But Paul, in the letter we heard first this morning read, laid out the nature of how he gives his life as Christ gave it for the church. We opened with a hymn that is bold in its proclamation that the church is Christ's, and he is the one, and let us say, the only foundation. That power that even through seasons of schism and heresy, of conflict, there is but one Lord and one faith and one baptism. Such acts of selflessness, as Paul describes, he's completing what Christ has done by his sacrificial nature on the cross, that all might be made Christ's example and sacrifice for others. Kevin Harney, in a book of outreach for the life of the church, says, "Far too many Christians believe that the church exists for them. They might not always say it, and we might not always want to think it, but that selfishness creeps in over selflessness. We begin to think that the real purpose of the church is that it meets my needs. It provides services I need. It takes care of my family. It offers programs we enjoy. One of the most telling natures, Harney says, is that if members of the church are not aware that Jesus and others are truly lost without him, then outreach will no longer be a priority for them. Is the nature of Armstrong Chapel, our church, a church of selfish ends or selfless actions? Selflessness in any other area is one of magnanimous service and condition. But in the church, selflessness is modeled only by the sacrificial nature of Jesus on a cross. In your bulletin program this morning, I gave you a list of scriptures that I hope you'll use this week to consider the definition of selflessness. Now, don't try and do this like a buffet, that you show up and try and eat all of the passages in one sitting. Break it up a little bit. Go back a couple of passages and read those and leave a few more for the next meal and a few more for the next meal. Spread it out over next week. That maybe you and I will spend this entire week discovering what it means to be a selfless people and not a people out of our own need or desires. In 1 Corinthians 10, Paul writes, "No one should seek their own good, but the good of others." In Galatians 5:14, Paul again says, "For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself." Those of you that were here last week know that line was not in the passage we read last week on the Good Samaritan. And yet it quoted the same quote, "loving your neighbor as yourself." Philippians 2 is perhaps one of my personal favorites. "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others better than yourselves, looking not only to your own interests, but to the interests of others." That passage for me is one of the most favorite that I would read at a Christian marriage gathering, a time in which it is far easy in our society to be a bridezilla or a groomzilla than to be a Christzilla, one who would look not to your own interest, but to the interests of others. In Romans 12, Paul would write, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you'll be able to test and prove what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." Those are but a few samples of the passages I offer to us in this coming week to glean their insights, to plant their seeds of faithfulness, to have us understand at the depths of God's mercy, one of the real calls of a true disciple is selflessness. And so it brings us to the task today to understand Luke 10. Story of Martha and Mary. If you were listening closely, you would recognize that this passage is only recorded in Luke's gospel, nowhere else. Now, you and I meet Martha and Mary in a different context in the Gospel of John. We meet them at their brother Lazarus's house in Bethany, a dear friend of Jesus who dies, who, when Jesus heard of his illness, waited a few days and then sets out for Bethany. And by the time he reaches the outskirts, the news of Lazarus' death 4 days before reaches him. And Martha comes and says to him, "If you'd only been here, my brother would not have died." And Mary greets him the same way in that story. "If you'd only been here, my brother would not have died." Two very faith-filled women looking for the resurrection, looking for understanding. But in Luke's gospel, he sneaks in an interesting note that probably most of us in modern day just let it sail right past us. In verse 38 at its end, it says, "Martha welcomed him into her home." Newsflash, women can't own property. This could not be Martha's home. This is a moment that the writer in the gospel sets a stage of importance, because you and I understand that the hospitality code, if it is your home, isn't just mere convenience. In that day and age, hospitality literally meant life or death. If someone stopped by your place, they didn't have a chance to stop at the 7-Eleven to pick up a little Slurpee and a little extra for the road. They had to rely on your generosity and your hospitality. Not only are we reminded of that, we're also reminded that when you arrive, if you're the owner of the house, guess what the first thing is you're supposed to do? You bring out the water and you bring out the basin and you wash the feet of your guests. Generally, most of you that are fluent let your servants do that. But Jesus, remember, when he was with his disciples in those final moments in that meal, washed their feet and said, "It won't be that way among you. You'll wash each other's feet. Whoever wants to be servant of all must be servant of everyone. The least will be the greatest," Jesus teaches. In this moment, it is Martha's role, if it is her house, to care for all of these details. It is little wonder she's preoccupied with it, because she's intently concerned with Jesus and his disciples and their hospitality. If our world was not filled with Marthas, most of us wouldn't eat. Most of the church programs wouldn't happen. Don't think we're simply elevating Mary to be the ideal. Mary is, as Jesus acknowledges, at his feet. It may also be the same woman who will later in the gospel accounts find Jesus in an upper room and anoint his feet with oil and wipe them with her hair. It might be that one who would shelter in every way the word of Christ Jesus and would know its importance. That's why she was not distracted by other things. In this moment, who is the selfless one? It isn't Mary, and it isn't Martha. The selfless one is the one who has come, even Jesus Christ. The chosen part, the better part. Were you ever mindful that 50 years ago, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper was taken by one of the three astronauts, the first Holy Communion on the planet surface of the lunar moon of Earth. That was newsflash to me. Pretty cool. I guess I was more enchanted by the black and white pictures and all the heroic acts than to note the quiet, simple Holy Communion carried by Aldrin from his Episcopal church to the surface of the moon. You and I might want to make heroes out of humans, but we must understand Paul's conviction of selfless service. It's out of action because of Jesus Christ. Our sacrifice is not out of our noble being. Our sacrifice is to emulate the greater sacrifice. No one can outgive God who gave his perfect gift on the cross for us. It would be in Luke's gospel, after all, that when Jesus hangs on the cross, he would say that prayer on our behalf, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." An invitation for you and me to be selfless as Christ. Not to take Christ's place, but to take his deeds and works that are given in and through our lives and abundantly share them with the world. One interesting thing is occurring in our society. I would not speak ill of any corporation or group that it would advocate for human need, but I find it rather puzzling, if not troubling, at greatest levels, that when you go through fast food restaurants or offer purchases on corporate sites, you can discern and discover groups that you can help. Charitable act, a deed of kindness. But if it is not connected to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, it is but a meaningless handout. You and I have the one needful thing the world has and needs most. It is that power of Jesus Christ, that redemptive work, that nature that the church is not ours, but is Christ who gave it all for the world. Would we dare be his disciples? Now, one of the things that I've always found intriguing in the life of every congregation I've served is typically the vastness of our hymn book and the limitations of the hymns we like. It seems odd to me, but that at times people would pass out the back door of any congregation of which I've served, and they'd tell me that a particular song was not their favorite. I immediately think in my head, I normally don't say it to them, but "I don't think we were singing to you." Just saying. And to recognize the fact that if we have our favorites, there is a book that has lots more in it so that we might expand to others' favorites and not our own. It would be intriguing to know that normally one of the very first things that I've done in any church is to ask people what their top hymns are. And they'll give me a list of about 75 to 100, out of which I normally try and use the first year that I'm among you. And I've done that even at Armstrong. But I know the book, and it has a whole lot more in it than your favorites. I'll remind you and me that we don't offer our hymns of praise because they're what speaks to us. We offer the hymns of praise like Wesley Charles and John, Samuel and others who wrote a narrative of faith and combined it with a tune so that we could put it to remembrance and imagination. That we could use it to tell a story when others might not hear us read the scriptures or even have them proclaimed. They might know the power of the risen Christ who selflessly left heaven, took on human form, became obedient to death, even death on a cross. That, my friends, is selfless service. It is selflessness in its finest ideal. It is an opportunity for you and me to impact the world on behalf of Christ. May we do it together.